Thank you so much, Donna. It's just so much fun, as Donna says, just to spend this time with you. And it really has become such a very, very sacred time. Donna was asking me a little bit about the talk before, and I said that so much of what the evening's going to be about is very much inspirational and internally transformational. And of course, there are the words and the concepts, etc., but those truly are in service of everything else. So I would like to invite all of us to mute our phones, and I think that's a star six for everyone if you haven't done that yet. And I have muted mine, so if Eleanor, you could try to say something, and if I don't hear you, that means I've successfully muted my phone. Oh, wonderful. It's such a good day when technology works the way it's supposed to. It was, I think, a couple of weeks ago that one of you who is listening on this phone call right now, wrote and, among other things, asked a question. Said, have you ever thought about doing one of these teleconference calls, talks, on the topic of forgiveness? And I just let that sort of hit me in the head. You know how some things just jump off the page at you? And this one jumped off my computer screen at me. And I had the thought, I think I've just received the inspiration for what this month's talk is about. So what I did over the last couple of weeks is I just, knowing that, just sort of let myself sit in the middle of what I've come to call the spirit of forgiveness. And I just let that spirit ruminate in my heart, speak to me in my soul, and echo sweet nothings to me in my ear. And then, of course, what I did today is I just opened to your input, because we all collectively create this together at a soul level. So I'm really excited. But one of the first things I did is, as any of you would have done, of course, is I went to my trusty dictionary and I looked up the definition of forgiveness. And I know you're really excited about that, and you're saying, oh, that will give us certainly the most inspired, wonderful definition of what forgiveness is about. And you're so right. So there were two aspects of what I found in the dictionary of those definitions that I found a little bit of interest. The first is to cease to blame or feel resentment against. To cease to blame or feel resentment against. And as I sat with that, I thought, to cease. That is, the blame disappears. It's like somehow whatever dynamic we were into about resentment and blame and judgment, etc., somehow through some internal magic or process, that stops. It just stops. And then the second definition that caught my attention is to cease to demand the penalty for, or to grant freedom from penalty to someone. So it occurs to me that when we are needing to forgive someone, when we're in the middle of like a heavy duty set of feelings of resentment or whatever about someone, that in a sense it's very much like a courtroom, and we take that person to court in our mind, sort of the mental court, and we find that person guilty, and we impose a penalty on that person. We sentence that person to something. It's like that person somehow has to pay us back somehow. And so the second definition is to cease to demand the payback or the penalty. So one, we let go of our own feelings of pain and resentment against that person. And two, we let them off the hook. We basically say, you don't owe me anything more. I love you. I'm okay with you. I'm at peace with you. And you are just free to be yourself. And so as I sat, oh, not just with the definitions, but with the spirit of that, I began to feel, wow, what a powerful, powerful thing forgiveness is. So I opened myself to get even more inspired about the direction to take when talking to you. And as I mentioned, we so together co-create. And that's the reason, of course, that I wait until the last minute, wait until several hours before this to really put together my thoughts about what this is, because that's the point at which we've pretty much all made a decision about who's going to be here. And so whatever at a soul level you want and you need just kind of goes into our collective wisdom, and then I tap into that. So as I sat in the lap of the spirit of forgiveness and listened to its sweet whisperings, I gradually discovered that, my goodness, forgiveness has a lot of sides, a lot of facets to it. It's an approach, it's a concept, it's a phenomenon that just speaks so many languages. For example, and I came up with three of them. One, to forgive someone, we first have to feel offended, or hurt, or slighted, or oppressed, or damaged, or threatened, or devalued by somebody else, or by some circumstance of life, or by life itself, or even God. There's some feeling of being done to. Second, we're in the midst of experiencing, I'm guessing, fairly intense, even harsh judgments about that person or that circumstance. And we're definitely blaming someone or something, usually outside of ourselves, but sometimes very much internally within ourselves, something about ourselves. And then thirdly, we're probably feeling some rather hurtful, hateful, angry, hostile, or at the least disrespectful feelings about that person or that situation. And so as I sat in the middle of that, I felt the pain of all of that, and I thought, my goodness, just like how that can just eat any one of us alive when we're feeling that disrespected and done to, feeling that those judgments and feeling the huge feelings of hurt and anger, etc., that are there. So I sat with it a little more and just let the spirit of all those feelings speak to me. And I began bit by bit to realize something, that this set of feelings and judgments is one aspect or one part of a deeper internal process that most of us are embroiled on a daily basis. It's a subtle, I think mostly unconscious, sense of a struggle with life. Like we're not feeling totally one with life, we're feeling at odds with life. Maybe a feeling of being in subtle opposition to some facet of life, or feeling like that facet of life is in opposition to us. Or an underlying feeling of being done to, or being at the mercy of life, or one of life's circumstances. In other words, we simply don't feel safe or empowered or in charge of ourselves in life. And so in some ways, it's like we're in a battle, whether that battle is very subtle so we hardly notice it, or overt where it totally gets our attention, some battle with some facet of life or of self or of something. So I opened up to that and how that lives in each of us. And in thinking about that phenomenon a little more deeply, I realized that this battle is not just a battle with something outside. It really is a battle within ourselves, or some aspect of ourselves. So, and of course that's because, as without, so within. It's like if we're in battle with something or someone or some event outside, it's because that's got some life inside ourselves. So what could we possibly be at odds with internally? Well, of course, we all know the spiritual theory. It says whatever we encounter outside of ourselves lives in pretty equal measure within. And according to that theory, whatever someone external is doing to us probably reflects in some way, and there are exceptions to this, what we're doing to ourselves. So if this angle rings a bell, we might do well to ask ourselves, am I treating myself the way this person is treating me? For example, if my boss is treating me with disrespect, am I doing the same thing to myself, holding myself in some style of low self-esteem, but maybe doing it so subtly and familiarly that I've conditioned myself to not even notice that? Am I maybe treating myself with some disrespect that's only being mirrored by whatever's out there. So I hung out with that and came up with this thought. Let's come at this question with a counter question. Is there really anything about ourselves? I mean, really anything about ourselves or about life or about that other person that's so despicable, so awful, so hurtful, so evil, so dark, that we feel really called to be or feel the necessity to be that defensive, that judgmental, that vengeful, that hurt? I remember, and for some reason this really sticks in my brain, about a year and a half ago, Donna and I heard a Tibetan Buddhist monk named Paulden Gyatso, many of you maybe have heard him or know of him, give a talk, and I think the talk was called Forgiveness, Tolerance, Kindness, and Compassion. And this precious man had spent 35 years in a Chinese prison, after, of course, the Chinese took over Tibet, being tortured almost every day and treated quite cruelly on the days that he wasn't being tortured. And after 35 years of this treatment and after being released, he was talking one day with the Dalai Lama. And he told the Dalai Lama in the midst of the conversation that his biggest regret about those years was that at one point he almost, quote, lost it, unquote. And when the Dalai Lama asked him what he meant, he said, well, I almost lost my feelings of unconditional love and compassion for the Chinese. And when I heard that, my heart just opened and internally did a little weep. It was like, oh my gosh. For 35 years, after being treated with harshness and cruelty and torture and mental abuse, as well as the physical, there was one day in that 35-year period where he almost stopped unconditionally loving these people. Well, that story, as touching as it is, stands on its own, of course. And it's as powerful a story as any theoretical speech about forgiveness could ever be. I don't know of anything, including all the words that are here, that could even begin to express what the topic of this talk is about, which is the spirit of forgiveness. So I'd like for the rest of our time together to be in that spirit of forgiveness. I'd like to invite us to do some version of what I did, which is just open up to the spirit of forgiveness and let it speak within, open up to whatever ways that if there's something in us that is saying, yeah, it would be really good for you to forgive X or Y, to just open to that, open to all the feelings, open to whatever life that has in you right now. And with me, invite yourself into the spirit of forgiveness. And I'm inviting all of us, each of us individually, all of us together, into that spirit of forgiveness, which we could also call the spirit of connectedness, actually the spirit of oneness, and something else, the spirit of freedom. Freedom in relation to all those subtle or direct ways that we feel hurt or punished or oppressed or pain. So the first step, I think, is this. And if you feel moved to do this with us, please let that happen. The first step is let's open our hearts. Let's go away from the mind a bit and down into the heart, because as we know, it's in our hearts that we can see the truth, find the deeper wisdom of whatever's happening. It's in our hearts that we can receive life's miracles, life's transformative gifts. And that's my intention this evening, that we do exactly that. It's in our hearts that we know that we deserve miracles and that we can accept whatever those miracles are. Yes, let's open our hearts and let's pre-accept the way that life or God or the universe or source or the divine or even yourself, the way that that is about to forgive you. Forgive me? You're maybe asking. I thought this was about my forgiving others. Well, yes, it is. But I've discovered, and I think you probably have too, that it's pretty impossible, at least very difficult for any of us to forgive someone else if we don't feel pretty fully forgiven ourselves, internally. For what? Well, for, if nothing else, the basic guilt that we carry around, for the feelings of shame and regret that we maybe harbor for the ways in which we dislike or even hate facets of ourselves. For example, if we don't like our weight or our body image, or we don't like a certain habit, or if we feel like our body's punishing us when it decides to get ill or develop an ongoing painful condition, or if we just plain and simple don't like something about ourselves, then it might help to ask ourselves, have I forgiven those aspects of myself, my body, for example, or my emotional imbalance? Or have I forgiven my judgmental self? Have I forgiven myself for being in opposition to this part of me? It's all very subtle, of course, for most of us, but somehow very, very real. So yes, before any of us even think about forgiving anything in the seeming world around us, maybe we'd do well to think about forgiving ourselves. And that leads to probably the biggest point that I'd like to make tonight. Forgiveness is about love. Forgiveness is about love. Forgiveness, in a sense, is simply one of the many, many voices of love. We usually don't get around to forgiving another until we're fully enough in love with ourselves, in love with life, in love with every aspect of the life in us, around us. And when that love takes over our heart, takes over our core, takes over our humanity, when that love has enough life, enough passion, enough intensity, enough expressiveness, so that we feel it here, there, and everywhere, then that love begins to speak a lot of its languages, forgiveness among them. Can you experience that love, like right now? Can you experience its spirit in your heart, its power, its beauty, present and just swirling right there in the depths of your heart? Can you begin to notice in your heart, or wherever it may be right now, its healing powers, its nurturing gifts? Can you find in your heart love's forgiving touch, forgiving you for anything and everything that you ever thought was wrong with you? Silly concept, of course. Or that you thought was wrong with the world, equally silly. Or with the human race, or with other people. That love is here now. That love is here with a gift. And that gift is the gift of forgiveness, compassion, tenderness, embrace, healing, nurturing, and perhaps, if you want it, the miracle of transformation. Transformation of anything in you that leaves you perhaps in pain, that leaves you feeling separated from, in opposition to, feeling done to by some facet of life or self. Love. That's what feeds the desire to forgive anyone. Loving yourself, forgiving yourself, caring enough about, embracing yourself enough to honor the beauty and the deservingness of your own self, your own person, your own presence, your own being. When that's done enough, you'll naturally begin to see the beauty in the person who said something offensive, or treated you with such total disrespect, or disregarded your worth in perhaps the most unimaginable way possible. Then, when that's done enough, you naturally want to forgive that person. Naturally, not by forcing yourself, because then you begin to realize that that person shares the same beauty you do, shares the same perfection you do, that person was just acting out a role that somehow and in some subliminal levels you and that person had some invisible agreement about. somehow you begin to start respecting that person, even if that person acted in total ignorance or in a way that was motivated by a personal ego characteristic that maybe you don't admire. But somehow, when you feel love in yourself and you feel forgiving of every facet of yourself, it's like the next thing that most naturally happens is love in you and as you just wants to share that into a bigger and bigger, bigger world. And then you move out to someone else. And you see the someone else as deserving of being loved by you just as much as you are deserving of that love. So let's right now forgive you. Would you let that happen? In fact, I'd like to invite that in a certain way and come with us here if you feel moved to do it. I'd like to invite all of us, every one of us here, joined together in this sacred community of this moment, immersed in the shared spirit of love that's right here. Have all of us, even though we're attached auditorially rather than visually, in our inner eye, look at you and see your deservingness, see your beauty, experience your divine roots, know your perfection. Then together, if it's okay with you, let us all just embrace you and hold you and forgive you. Together, if it's okay with you, let us say to you, even if inaudibly, we officially forgive you. And in that forgiving, going back to the definition in the dictionary, we, on behalf of life, cease to blame or feel resentment against you, and ask that you cease to blame or feel resentment against yourself. Second, we cease to demand the penalty for. We grant you freedom from the penalty in relation to whatever it is that we are forgiving you for officially. We love you. We honor you. We hereby release you from the guilt, from the battle, from the shame, from the anger, from the need to judge and protect. Can you feel that forgiveness? Better yet, can you add your own forgiveness of yourself to ours, so that together we embrace the grandest expression of love possible, that forgiveness-based propelling of each of us into freedom? Can you truly, deeply in your heart say, I'm done. Done with guilt, done with shame, done with waging the war or the battle, done with not forgiving myself. Can you? Would you? Will you? So, in summary, instead of trying to force yourself to forgive someone else, or at least side by side with that approach, let's focus on forgiving yourself, loving yourself unconditionally, without any judgment, with a totally open heart, with a willingness to see yourself as utterly perfect. We know remarkable things happen when we do exactly that. I know it seems a lot of times like a huge stretch, and then other times it doesn't. But if it's feeling like a huge stretch right now, I just ask you to remember other times in your life when there was a stretch equally huge and somehow you just let go into it and it happened. And that's our intention with you tonight as we gathered around you, held you, looked at you through our inner eye and saw your beauty and uttered those words that we officially forgive you. We mean it, that you deserve that propelling into the freedom from the pain of judgment, whether of yourself or of another or of life. In that space of unconditional love and self-embrace, we transform, we sparkle, we begin to shine, who we are comes to light and fills all the spaces that up until now we've perceived as dark. We become our free self. I have one big final thought to add. And in it, I've labeled this in my own notes, the coup d'etat, so you're just going to love this. So I don't mean to be giving forgiveness of others the short shrift here. It's just that it's usually quite difficult to pull off. And of course, why is it? Because we're trying to do it oftentimes on a bedrock of low self-esteem. And that approach either doesn't work well or it's just plain old painful. But I've been thinking, what could make the act of forgiving someone else easier? Well, if you've hung around me long enough, and if you have, I want you to know, and you're going to love this remark, I forgive you for it. Oh, too good. You might already have a sense of what rabbit I'm about to pull out of the proverbial hat. So here's the rabbit. The coup d'etat, la pièce de la résistance, the icing on the cake, the true panacea, the... Oops, hold on, I'm getting carried away. Here's the something that can make all the difference. It's this. Let go. Release all your efforts to forgive. Simply open to the miracle of forgiveness. Be receptive to grace taking over, and then let it happen. It can be exactly that simple. We can simply, to use the term from AA, let go and let God, or to use another spiritual term, we can just let grace, or let life, or let the divine, or let our own soul or our own heart, or let the beauty of life itself do the job of forgiving, or do the job of bringing forgiveness into our own hearts. So we can stop trying to make it happen, stop efforting at it by trying to do it all by ourselves. After all, and here's the big thing, life is love. Life's main language is the language of love. Life knows how. Grace, God, life, universe, the infinite. Life knows how to do forgiveness or compassion or caring or embrace in its sleep. If, of course, it does sleep. I don't know if life sleeps or not, but that's a discussion for another time. Life is filled with talents, powers, gifts, potentials that most of us humans are still in the process of owning. And the good news that we can't get to those gifts and powers just by relying on our own inside-the-box dynamics, but we can get to them by letting go. The good news is those talents and gifts, powers, potentials are ours for the asking, but not through our personal efforts. They're ours when we let go into them, when we invite them and give ourselves to them, when we let them take us over, and then we just receive them and watch them and start swimming around in their power, a power that's a higher power, bigger power. Yes, the key to forgiveness, whether of ourselves or of others, is to simply be who we are. Assume that the status quo of who we are is okay as it is, maybe even downright perfect, then let the miracle of grace take over and fill us with the power of that truth, that knowing that we are perfect. And in and of that itself, forgiveness can either naturally happen or be well on its way to creating a miracle within us. Yes, as a side effect of just letting go, we begin to feel forgiveness of ourselves, of others, of life circumstances, of God, of everything, anything. Total, complete forgiveness, which of course leads us instantly to total and complete personal freedom. So in closing, let's go once again to our hearts. And of course, I think we're all there anyway. And let's invite life, God, grace, love to take over. Are you there with me? And now, again, if this feels right to you all together, let's let go. We've invited love in. Now we release all effort, all intention, all desire. And here we are just sitting, waiting, letting our senses go to wherever they naturally are moved to go. And we receive, whether consciously or subconsciously, whether energetically or physically, internally, externally, directly, indirectly, we receive. We're just letting love do what love knows how to do. Embrace us, nurture us, love us to the depths of our being, and somehow, in that magical touch, unlock the enormous, enormous power of forgiveness. And now we sit in the glory of that infinite and unconditional love. We let it touch us in the underbelly of our being, and we begin to hear and feel its gentle nudges and workings in the underpinnings of our heart. I love that, looking at it from the perspective of the soul, which is, and of course the soul is really the soulful self. It's just the most essential, deep aspect of who we are, and if I could just put a sentence or two to that. I really deeply believe that it's really at that deep, deep space of deepest love of and commitment to ourselves and to everybody around us that we arrange certain things to happen and make, as you said and I said earlier, these sort of covert agreements with those around us to play out a certain way. And then truly what I see is that at that deep, deep core of our being that we call the soul, that there's a true, genuine effort to help us move through the processes of seeing and getting clear about what's going on, and then the whole process of forgiveness and letting go, and the freedom that the whole thing got started for in the first place. And so I really feel like it's not just, gee, that gets orchestrated and then we're on our own, but we have this deep, deep, deep resource within us that's so there. And I thank you so much for putting that into such perfect words.